Let's go to God in prayer as we ask Him to lead and teach and guide us. Father, we thank You for Your precious word. We thank You for speaking in our hearts, in our lives, our minds, even this day. Father, we ask, Lord, that You teach us to live a life of prayer, so that constantly, Lord, our lives rise before You like incense on high. Be glorified tonight. And we believe, Lord, that each time, Father, as we gather in Your presence and pray all night, that something changed within us. Something more of You is established in us. And let it be so even this night and this morning, Lord. We thank You, Father, that You continue to teach us Your word, teach us to pray and live the life of prayer like Jesus did. And all the principles involved, Lord, unveil to our lives so that we can capture the spirit of prayer and supplication and flow with all that You want us to be and to do, even this night. Thank You, Father, for being with us. Glorify Your Son, Jesus, in our midst. Once again, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we take that from the book of 1 Thessalonians. Let's look at that verse again. Last week we talked about building memorials and how it's good to have set times that we seek God. And today we want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. These words where Paul says, pray without ceasing. We're going to teach on how to pray without ceasing. Obviously, praying without ceasing has to involve not just our words and our mouth, because otherwise our mouth is continually talking all the time. And that can't be done 24 hours a day. Praying without ceasing has to do with something deeper, which is deep in our hearts. And we know that prayer is not just vocal. Sometimes prayer can be in our heart. And that's a concept that we must understand. When we speak forth a prayer, we are understanding or in tongues, which our mind does not know, but our heart knows. When we speak forth a prayer with our lips, it is only the outward evidence of something deeper. We know from Romans chapter 8 that prayer, the Holy Spirit stirs us to pray. And there's deep groanings within. And the utterance that we give out is only the part of the iceberg that you can see above the water. There's more underneath. There's unspoken. There's flowing out. And in the Bible, we do have people who pray in their hearts and somehow God heard them. In their heart is words flowing, but nothing comes out. And one of those people, Hannah. One of those people is Hannah in the book of 1 Samuel. Hannah was tremendously burdened. She had a very bitter life. And in a bitterness, she was in a home where the husband had two wives and she was the other wife. So it was really not a perfect home. On top of that, the other woman has sons and she has no sons. And in those days, it was a shameful thing not to be able to bear children. And added to that was the fact that the other woman kept tormenting her too. And so you can imagine how much pressure she was under. And she continually, in chapter 1 verse 6, it says, the rival provoked her severely, made her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So year by year, she went to the house of the Lord and she wept and she did not eat. She was so down, so bitter that she could not eat. And of course, the husband says, you know, why are you always doing that? And he could not understand the depth of the groanings and desires and the pain and the bitterness that she was bearing. And in verse 10, it says, chapter 1, verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And the Bible records this prayer that she did in verse 11 and verse 12. It says she made a vow to God. And she says, "Oh Lord, oh hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli, the high priest who was there, he was not really a good high priest, but he happened to be high priest that year, and he was watching her. Someone was watching her. And then it says in verse 13, Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. And Eli thought she was drunk, because there's no sound coming out. Just her heart praying before God. So I have proven to you here, besides Romans 8, which most of you know, so I didn't turn to, where there's groanings deep within, and the Spirit leads us to pray what we do not know what to pray, and Paul talked about how we groan within ourselves and the prayer wants to come out, that prayer originates from deep within us. And when Paul says to pray unceasingly, he's speaking about not just verbal prayer. Of course, you can say it out loud if you want from time to time. But if it's unceasing, that means it never stops, never ceases. He's talking about prayer of the heart. And I like to bring this concept called a prayer burden. Holding on to a prayer burden. And last week we talked about memorials before God. Today we talk about having prayer burdens. Now the Bible doesn't have an exact word for that, but I introduced this concept of having not your own burdens. Of course, Hannah here in the example, she has her own burdens and her own desires. But there is such a thing as the Lord laying a prayer burden upon you, and he knows that you can hold on to it, and you'll always be bringing it before the Lord, whether your lips move or not, whether there are voices coming out, and whatever else you may be busy doing, your heart is unceasingly praying and bringing the burden before God. And if you look at Malachi chapter 1, it tells us, instead, most prophets will say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." But Malachi chapter 1 verse 1 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." So look at it here. It's something that the Lord gave and unto him to bear. And other places talk about other prophets also had the burden of the Lord. But this is an easy book for you to find. It's just before the book of Matthew. And the burden of the Lord came upon him. What is this burden? This comes from the Lord. See, does the Lord give burdens? Oh, yes. Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. He doesn't give it to all because he knows not everyone can bear it. But to those who can and become vessels for God to use, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, he says, because you all know the verse where he says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke." So Jesus has a yoke. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And then Jesus turned around and said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now that's interesting. Jesus has a burden and a yoke that he puts upon us. Now, the yoke here he's talking about is talking about bearing his call, bearing something that the Lord gives us to bring before God, something that the Holy Spirit gave to us. Paul says it differently. Paul says here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he speaks about his life before the Lord in the ministry. He spoke about all the things he went through in chapter 11, verse 24 onwards. How 5 times he has received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times he was beaten with rod. 1 he was stoned. 3 times he was shipwrecked. A night and a day he has been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of his own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger, thirst, fastings often, in cold, nakedness. besides the other things, and everything looks like, okay, all those things God has put him through. But look, in verse 28, besides the other things, he called this the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern, care, or burden for all the churches. That's interesting. On top of all those things that he went through, he bore the burden of the church. Why? Because he was an apostle. And God gave to him to bear that burden. So Jesus does have a prayer burden that he can lay on us. Of course, sometimes some of us have our own cares, like Hannah, and Peter has the verse in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. So we know we can cast all our cares upon him. And in Philippians chapter 4, he also tells us to be anxious for nothing, but by everything, by prayer and supplication. So if you have your own burden, by all means, bring it to God. And so there's an aspect of us having a burden, but there's also an aspect of God putting a prayer burden on us. And when you have a prayer burden, then you can pray unceasingly. So what does a prayer burden do? The prayer burden is like a compass. A compass always points north, to magnetic north. And so you can turn a compass anyway, but the piece of magnet that's magnetized to point to the North Pole will always point straight to the North Pole. It's been geared that way. You can turn every direction you want, and a magnet will, suppose if it's a good magnet, supposed to keep pointing you to where the North Pole is. That's a compass. A prayer burden causes your thoughts and your emotions and all that is in you to be concentrated upon the prayer burden that God points to him. So whether you are busy doing your 8 hours work from 9 to 5, or whether you're busy doing your groceries, or busy doing your things in life, inside your heart is the burden that keep pointing to God in prayer. That's a prayer burden. And sometimes when you can, you pray softly in tongues. And wherever you can, sometimes you pray in English, or you just keep bringing this that the Lord lay upon him. And it is only possible to pray unceasingly when God puts something into your heart like a prayer that keep bringing all your emotions, your thoughts, and your consciousness like a compass pointing to God. It is possible. And God doesn't do it to everyone. And when Paul says, pray unceasingly, many people say, well, how do I pray? You can always pray unceasingly in your heart. So that sometimes even when you go to sleep, your last thoughts after praising God is, Lord, I'm sleeping while bringing this prayer burden before you. And you could fall asleep in that prayer burden and wake up still praying unto the Lord. So how long can a prayer burden last? It can last for years, it can last for months, it can last for weeks, it can last for days. Depend on the burden. And let's say if you have a calling of God like Paul, an apostle, or let's say this burden for revival is a lifelong burden. This thing that the Lord lay upon us for revival, lay upon our life and ministry for revival, that is a lifelong thing. That always there's a direction that points towards walking close with God and wanting to be revived, wanting to see the church as it is. That is also a burden. And that draws you into prayer. That draws your heart to speak prayers from your heart. And it's like a heart cry before God. And you're always coming before God. Your list might not say much. Or your list might just say, oh God. And oh God. Oh God. But yet, a lot of things have released before God. Each time. Because you carry a prayer burden. It's a powerful thing. So let's show some people who carry some of the burdens that the Lord laid upon them. And let's look at Nehemiah in the Bible. Nehemiah was serving under the king. And we have an interesting story of Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, tells us in Nehemiah chapter 1. And Nehemiah, one of those who always prays spontaneously all the time. And he says in verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hekaliah, it came to pass in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. So Nehemiah lived during the captivity. He was now in Babylon. And they said to him, to me, the survivors are left from the captivity in the province, are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down. Its gates are burned with fire. Look at verse 4. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. He saw how the prayer burden came. He saw the need. When he heard about the need. So sometimes the need for revival hits you in your heart. Boom, and you carry the burden. Sometimes you look at people and they have needs in their life. Their needs hit you. Boom, and you bear the burden of prayer for them. There is a prayer burden that is activated by the Spirit. So when Nehemiah heard about the needs in Jerusalem, it hit him so hard that he wept. He cried for many days. Bible didn't say how long, but many days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And he record a sample of his prayer. I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. There you go again. Remember, he's got memorial also. He passed the stage of memorial. And now he's praying unceasing. Remember, we are talking about a life of prayer. You can never have a life of prayer until you got the burden from the Lord. I'm not talking about your own cares and own anxieties or your things, but something that the Lord lay on you. Maybe you're concerned for revival. Maybe you're concerned for prayer burden. Whether you like it or not, it's there, niggling at you. And the secret is to let that prayer burden pray out into your consciousness. And you turn it into prayer, and lo and behold, you have a life of prayer, and it becomes unceasing prayer. And so there was that prayer niggling at Nehemiah. The burden was great, and he prayed on day and night, he says, before God. And then he confessed the sins of the children of Israel, and he acknowledged their sin, and both their sin, the father's house, and I have sinned, and all that in verse 6. He says, we acted very corruptly against you, have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among nations, then you will return to us. So he keep praying this to God. And he was the king's cupbearer. And he says in verse 11, O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. Let your servant prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So he always is praying day and night. So this is one of the cases where when he slept, he wake up, he still got to pray burden. And he's still praying. And of course, we take it that since he was a cupbearer, he got a job to do, he cannot be always talking. He might give instruction, but his heart was still praying. His heart was still praying. Always praying. And it's like a compass. Prayer burden is like a compass. It captures your emotion, captures your thoughts. And you know what? Some of you know what it's like. Where your body can be here, but your mind can be somewhere else. And your body can be here, but your emotions could be far, far away. And a prayer burden captures your emotions, captures your consciousness, captures your thoughts, and keep turning it in a prayer to God. And so whether you say those words out a lot or not, you are praying unceasingly, as long as you allow the compass to function. It's always pointing to God, and there's always a cry going to God, "Oh God, oh God," and you're praying over those night and day. You keep praying. And then we see in chapter 2, verse 1, it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes. Now, that's some time had passed from the month of Kislev to the month of Nisan. He's still carrying this burden of the walls of Jerusalem, of the needs of Jerusalem. He's carrying this burden. He hasn't prayed through yet. And he continued praying before God. And then he got a job to do. He was serving wine. When wine was before him, and he was a cupbearer, so he took the wine and gave it to the king. And he says, "I have never been sad in the presence of the king." In fact, in front of the king, it was actually illegal to be sad. In those days, the king was the judge, the jury, and the executioner. He could just say, "Okay, execute you for being sad." So it's dangerous. But the prayer burden was so great, it began to affect his job. Not so much his job, affect his emotions while he was doing the job. He was still doing the job. And as he was doing the job, the prayer burden was constantly there. Then the king asked him, "Why is your face sad? Since you're not sick, this is nothing but sorrow of heart." And then look at verse 2, he trembled. Because now he could die. The king said, "Why are you sad?" And he is trembling. And he said, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad? When the city, the place of my father's tomb, lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire." And then the king said, "What do you request?" Now remember, the king was talking to him. And then he said, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." Now how come the king was talking to him and he was praying to the God of heaven? Praying in his heart. So he was having a call. I mean, the king was talking. He cannot say, "Excuse me, king, now I talk to someone bigger than you. Oh God, answer my prayer." "Okay, now what do you want?" "Oh, can you make the king wait?" No. What the king was talking to him, his heart was crying. "Oh God of heaven, oh God of heaven, oh God of heaven, oh God of heaven." And he was having a conversation with God while he was having a conversation with the king. That's praying unceasingly. See, you can pray even you work 9 to 5. This is a life of prayer. Some people can't imagine how it can be done. Prayer burdens. Prayer burdens. Let the Lord put his prayer burden upon your heart. Perhaps some of us got prayer burden, but we are so insensitive. The Lord put a ton of prayer burden, so cannot feel anything. Every day, you know, you're happy, smiling, with your heart very heavy. Getting heavy and heavy, but cannot feel your heart, you're dead to all your internal sensitivity. And so the Lord said, "No use, let's take all the burden, put it on somebody else." Cannot use this guy for prayer burden. The person doesn't know what to do with it. And Nehemiah, he knew what to do. He allowed the compass to flow. Now, having a prayer burden and not letting it rise before the Lord is like you block the compass from pointing north. And you didn't allow that free flow. And you could pray for many things in your heart, on the MRT, in the bus, driving the car, and while working, especially if your job is monotonous job, which allows you to do other things. Your mind is free, your emotions are free while you're doing a job that doesn't take too much energy or concentration. Of course, if your job needs concentration, then by all means concentrate. But remember, if your heart is free before God, you're still actually praying. You could still be unceasingly praying to God. And there you have where the spirit man is praying before God. And it's an interesting thing because your spirit man and your soul man are two different parts of you and can be separated. And that happens after Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 works in your life. And I had a good time with Pastor David this morning. We got together And I didn't ask the details, but when he was going through all the seven churches, he says, my spirit appeared with him. So some of you say, okay, if my spirit was there, where was my body? Body is still here. Then where was my consciousness? Was I like locked in a room in a trance? Well, my spirit, no. My body was still doing different things. So my body retained some consciousness, but my spirit was taken. And so, and it was not, my spirit didn't just appear with him once in a while, chum, then appear, chum, disappear, chum, appear, chum, no. He says, my spirit was walking prayer walk with him. And then he turned to talk with me, but I didn't hear him, not pay attention, my spirit was just, I say, how did I walk? He saw me walking. He crossed the street, I was also crossing the street with him. And I was walking with his angel, and we were walking together. And so he says, his feet got sore, my feet didn't get sore. He feel cold, I didn't feel cold, and because it was just my spirit. Now, what was I doing while my spirit was there? I was here sometimes talking to some of you. So can you be in two places at the same time? Can. My spirit goes somewhere, my soul remains here. Because there is such a thing as how your spirit is with God, but your body is still here. And people think that in that concept, you must be in a trance. You know, you're stuck in a trance, and you're there. No, because my spirit was there quite long. And in fact, I was walking about the house, and sometimes I would go for lunch. My physical body went out for lunch with Clemente, came back, but my spirit man was walking with him, praying walk. Two places at the same time. Why your spirit is so separate? And part of my spirit was there. And so it was interesting, he was crossing the road, you know, and I was crossing the road with him, especially in Philippi. And so us praying walk, and remember, in his prayer walk, he says he has probably walked about 200 hours. If 1 hour, he walks about 5 kilometers, that's nearly 1,000 kilometers he has walked. And he showed me where his feet was swollen all the walk. And your spirit can be praying while your soul and consciousness are actually doing something. And sometimes this is the phenomena I experience sometimes with people. Sometimes I'm talking to a person. As I'm talking, I see their spirit man separate. And then my spirit talk to his spirit, but his mind doesn't know that I'm talking to his spirit. That's a strange phenomena. So sometimes I talk to some of your spirit, but your mind doesn't know I talk to you. And because some of us not sensitive to our own spirit. So your spirit is screaming, telling, but your soul cannot hear anything. In fact, your soul is, what's that? What's that? You know, you cannot hear what your spirit man is saying. And our spirit can be continually praying before God. And each night, every time I go to sleep, my spirit is always with God. And sometimes when I'm here praying all night, my spirit is elsewhere. But my body is still moving. You see, how did body move? By remote control. No, it's moving as if I'm here. And the spirit is somewhere else. Sometimes it's already gone in the spirit. And when you're conscious, more conscious of your spirit, man, you realize that your spirit doesn't need to sleep. Remember I talked about some of the five things about the spirit, man. The spirit, man, is not limited by time. It can travel to the past, travel to the future. And a spirit man is not limited by geography. It can travel any part of the world, any part of the universe. And the spirit man can move and can receive things from God that only the spirit man can receive. And your spirit needs to be the vehicle by which God's spirit energizes in order to energize your spirit man and your soul man and your physical body. And the spirit man has the spirit man has connection with God. Your spirit man has all the power you need for your life. I repeat this. Every problem you go through in your life, every situation you go through in your life, even though you don't seem to have a solution, even though you seem to lack strength, God has never allowed anyone to go through any problems without already providing the solution, the strength, the energy to go through or to successfully persevere through in your spirit man. So God has already given in your spirit man the ability to go through any test, trial, temptation, or any difficulty in this life, if you tap upon your spirit man. So your spirit man has the energy of God, unlimited resources of power. Your spirit man has unlimited resources of wisdom. Wisdom. And knowledge that your mind doesn't understand. And so if you tune to the spirit man, your spirit man was once in a while, some things transmit into your soul, and then your soul gains some understanding. And that's your unlimited power, unlimited wisdom. And the best thing, your spirit man has a direct connection to God and always can be one with God and in the presence of God. Your spirit man can sense oneness with God anytime, any place, anywhere. Your spirit man is in God as much as God is in you. Powerful, our spirit man. And our spirit man can pray 24 hours a day. Can pray 24 hours a day. And here is Nehemiah. He has a burden from the Lord. He's before the king, and there will be other officials around, and he was carrying this burden for months. And when you carry a prayer burden for months, it does flow into every part of your life. Your consciousness, your emotions, all are taken by this prayer burden, and like a compass, always turns to God. Until the king notices it. He says, "Why are you sad, Nehemiah? This must be the heart, cannot be your sickness or anything." And then the king started talking to him. "What do you request?" And in between here, he says, "I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. The king said to me," the queen also sitting beside him, says, "How long will your journey be and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. So the king sent him. And lo and behold, the prayer answered. The prayer was answered through him, of all things. To him, which is why this is a funny thing. Every time you say amen, it always takes amen to bring the answer. Of course, I include by amen women too. I said you cannot say a woman, so you say amen. So every time you say amen, it takes a vessel, a man, to bring the answers. You could be the person. And the strange thing is sometimes the things that God wants you to do, He wants you to bear the burden for it first. Like Paul says, on top of everything, He has the care and the concern for the church. Which is why everything in our life is birthed in prayer. Whenever you spend time all night prayer, you actually pray more for yourself than anybody else. Even though you could pray for many things. Because your life is a prayer seed inside you. The future of your life, the next 10 years, the next 20 years, in fact, the rest of your life, the next 50 years of your life, is in seed form in you in prayer. And each time as you pray, you could be releasing it and releasing it. And as you release it, then the angels could work and different things can work.
And then your life seems to flow in a direction that God wants to flow. Which is why I have told people many, many times, and I say it once again, in reference to the memorial before God, if you just spend consistently without stop, even once a week, an all-night prayer, it's already a memorial. And your life will take a shape and form where everything began to line up. I didn't say that things will always be rosy. Sometimes there are times that are more difficult than other times. Sometimes there are valleys, sometimes there are mountains, sometimes there are dry places, sometimes, you know, there are oases. But everything is in a direction that moves you so that year by year you could feel yourself growing, progressing, spirit, soul, body, and in your natural life, in your work life, in your ministry life, in your professional life, everything, in your business life, whatever God called you, seems to be progressing. You could feel the progress year by year if you spend that amount of time with God and that energy of God praying. Because your own life is a prayer burden and seed to you. You are birthing your own prayer just as Nehemiah birthed it forth in his own prayer life. And so here's an example of someone who had a prayer burden and probably prayed unceasingly in his heart. His heart was always crying out before God. Another person who demonstrated that is Daniel. Daniel, of course, he was again one of those who built a memorial. He prayed 3 times a day. Well, we are told that Daniel also sometimes understand what a prayer burden is. It says that in the book of Daniel, in chapter 9, Daniel chapter 9, in verse 2, in the first year of his reign, that is Darius the Mede, I, Daniel, understood by the word, books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. I set my face toward God and prayed. So when he read a prophecy, he realized, well, this prophecy must come to pass, hasn't come to pass, and the prayer burden hits him. And he immediately started praying to God. And the Bible tells us that as he prayed, God sent him more revelation through Gabriel. And he received more revelation to Gabriel. And it says here that when Gabriel came to him in verse 23, at the beginning of your supplication, the command went out. So we do not know how long he prayed, but it might have taken a few days, a few hours in prayer before he broke through in God. You know that he prayed 3 times a day. And it might take time. But here's another example in chapter 10, in verse 2. Verse 1 to 2. In the year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. He understood the message and understanding of the vision. Now, here's what's happening. He knew through the message or the revelation God gave him that something is supposed to come to pass, but it didn't come to pass yet. Isn't that sound like many people's needs and prayer? You know the prophecy, you know what God promised you, you know your desires, but it's not coming to pass yet. So what happens in between? Prayer burden. And so it affected Daniel, and it says in verse 2, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, notice the word he used. He didn't just use fasting. Mourning. Say, who died? Nobody. Why was he mourning? The burden of the Lord came upon him. Something laid upon him. It affected his emotion. He wanted to see the breakthrough. He wanted the prayer to break through. He wanted to see what God's message promised. And it caused him to mourn. He did fast too. And famous Daniel's 21 day fast. But it was not just fasting. He was mourning. And the Hebrew word mourning include things like groaning. Oh, oh God. Oh God. Oh God.
21 days. 21 days. So that's how long he carried. You know, he would have continued more than 21 days if he did not receive an answer. Why 21 days? It so happened at the end of 21 days that Gabriel came. So what happened if Gabriel come on the 24th day? He would have gone 24th day. What happened if Gabriel come 70 days later? He would have gone 70 days. He was just carrying the burden until he reached to heaven. And what did Gabriel tell him when Gabriel arrived in Daniel chapter 10? It says there, I, Daniel, was alone. And remember, he is praying and praying and praying and praying. And the next day, praying and moaning and praying and moaning, you know. And then some people compose a song. When the Spirit of the Lord moves within my heart, I will sing like David sang. And I will dance like David's dance. I will pray like David pray. Maybe they should add one more verse there. I will moan like Daniel moan. Daniel moaned for 21 days. And he was always in the morning. And then he was, that one day he was sitting by the river in verse 4. And this would be for the end of 21 days. And he was sitting by the river. And there were other people with him. And suddenly Gabriel came in his glory. And he described the dressing of Gabriel. His body was like barrel, his face like the appearance of lightning, eyes like torches. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. The other people didn't see, but a great terror came upon them. And then everyone ran away except Daniel. He was left there. And then Gabriel spoke to him, touched him and spoke to him and says, O Daniel, in verse 11, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you. Stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking, I was trembling. And in verse 12, Gabriel says, do not fear, Daniel. From the first day of his fast, from the first day they started praying and humble yourself before God, God already heard your prayer. But here I am 21 days later because I've been doing spiritual battle. That's what he was doing. And Daniel, he kept praying and moaning and praying and moaning and praying and moaning because he had a prayer burden. 21 days. He carried that burden. So here we talk about unceasing prayer. Unceasingly for 21 days. Now, did he sleep? Yes, he slept. Did he eat something? Yes, he ate something, but no pleasant food. Just very simple food. And he carried that burden. This ability to carry the burden is actually a gift of God. A gift of God that enables you to pray unceasingly. To pray 24 hours. In each one of your heart right now, whether you realize it or not, you already got prayer burden. But the thing here is, as you spend time with God, learn to pray in the Spirit that lets you to pray out your prayer burden before God. And when your prayer burden become understanding to your mind, then it becomes a genuine prayer burden that occupies your consciousness and your emotions. Daniel had a prayer burden. Nehemiah had a prayer burden. Paul had a prayer burden where he said the affairs of the church and the care of the church was upon him, on top of everything. And you say, when you look at Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, you can actually say, poor Paul. You know why? 39 stripes times 5 got him. 3 times hit with rocks. Stone one time. Nearly drowned in the sea. And in danger all the time. On top of all those things, the prayer burden that God gave to him. Say, hey, he got so many things, why don't God give somebody else the prayer burden? He prayed so many things. But that was his task. A prayer burden is almost like a woman bearing a child.
where God gave it for you to give birth. And you carry it, and you carry it. And some prayer burdens are a few days. Some are 21 days. Some are months. Some are years. Some are whole life long. Until you finish. That means whole life long you keep on fulfilling parts of it. And you carry it with you. And you're giving birth to it in the spirit, in prayer. And so the secret is to understand this burden that the Lord puts on you. It's not going to be so horrible that it's going to destroy your life. Because Jesus says, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. He said, why must we have a yoke? In those days, in a farmland, when they have a yoke is something that they put on the neck of an ox. And in those days, they will usually have not one ox, but two ox. So when they put the yoke, they will always yoke the... Say what? When Jesus say that my yoke... He say, I didn't know Jesus got a yoke. Because the example he gave was like, in those days when they put a yoke on the oxen, you know, they use the oxen. They don't use tractors like they have today. They use oxen. And they will put two oxen together. So the two oxen will walk side by side and they will carry like a plow or something to dig the ground. And so as the oxen move, the ground is dark. But usually, they will put an experienced ox with a new ox. Because if they put two new ox, they will run all over the place. They haven't been trained. And they will never do that. They won't put, you know, two new ox put there. The furrow will go this way. It won't be straight lines. They will always put it with an experienced ox who is very obedient. So the young ox on the run cannot, because the old ox will hold it steady. And they will put, you notice how the farmland always got straight rows. They will plow the ground in straight rows. Nice straight rows so they could plant their seeds. And that's how they train the ox to plow the ground. So Jesus was actually saying he was the experienced ox. Why is your yoke easy and your burden light? Because we are the young ox. We are yoked with Jesus. Because Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we are not the only one carrying the prayer burden. You know who carries the whole prayer burden for the whole wide world? Jesus. What is Jesus' ministry? He is now interceding for us. That's one ministry that he hasn't finished. He's died on the cross for us. He has showed and revealed himself to us, to the earth, and lived the life that he needs to live on earth. But his one ministry today that is not finished is he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So Jesus is the greatest intercessor. Jesus is our great high priest who prays for us. But Jesus says, take my yoke. So he gives us the little bit of the yoke, so we feel the yoke coming on us. But remember, it's Jesus' yoke. It's light, it's easy, but there is such a thing as a prayer burden. He says, my burden is light, because he's actually carrying the other half for you. But he wants you to take responsibility for your section. So he says, he gives us his yoke. And he gives us some part of the burden so that we can learn to pray alongside him. So he's the experienced oxen, we're the young ox, and we yoke together with him. We walk the walk he wants us to walk. And then he teaches us to keep carrying that burden. Keep carrying that burden. And then one burden is released, like the ox, it might rest. And then when that's answered, he let us enjoy all the answers. Then he put us on another field. And then we plow again. We plow again. All of us have our prayer burdens that God had. Some of the prayer burdens will be your own life. Some of those are the lives you are going to affect. How many lives will you affect when you have lived and died on the earth and go to heaven? all those lives, you can be sure God will make you pray your part also for the people. And you do not know them. That's why God gives us the spirit to pray. And you could pray it through. And there are times of rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who are heavy burdened. Why you got your own yoke on you? And he will give you rest. So give up your own burdens. Give all the things to God. And how so? Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So if your burden is for all the things the Gentiles seek, Jesus say, give it to him. And he says, take his yoke, which is seek the kingdom of God. Seek the will of God. Say, how do I pray, O Lord? He showed us. Our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Pray his kingdom come. Pray his will be done. Thank God for the daily bread. But the two focus is his kingdom come, his will be done. So join with him in his yoke. And as you seek first his kingdom, he takes care of your daily bread. And so give him all your burdens. And a lot of people are not having prayer burdens. They are having their own burdens. Which Jesus said, give it all to him. He takes them to the cross. And we can say, a lot of people God cannot experience the prayer burdens in their life because they got too many of their own burdens. And when we learn to give all our burdens to God, where in a sense you don't have a care in this world anymore, you are a responsible person where you will do your job and you will do your part to take care of yourself and your loved ones, but you practice Matthew 6. You learn not to worry about the things in this life. Every time those thoughts occur, you say, I've already committed it to the Lord. And I know the Lord will provide for me because I seek first his kingdom. And so then suddenly you're free of burden. You say, yay, I'm like a sparrow flying everywhere. And then the Lord will call you back. A sparrow is only one illustration. He says, come and bear my yoke. Say, hey, I'm a free, why should I bear anymore? Because now he's got training you to have his prayer burdens. Say, why should I do that prayer burden? Because there is a reward for being yoked with him. To do the will of the kingdom, to bring the kingdom of God on earth, to establish God's will on earth, there is a reward. And how many times did he tell us in the gospel, do not be like the Gentiles, do not be like the Gentiles, do not be like the Gentiles, do not be like the Gentiles. He say, why what the Gentiles? Because he says, the Gentiles seek to lord over one another. That's the first thing. You can find it in the scripture. They lord over one another. And remember, tell Jesus, hey, you should not practice that. The greatest among you must be servant of all. And so, look at the kingdom of God today. People try to strata them and try to make themselves like movie stars and all that. These are like the Gentiles. We're not obeying God's word. And so, those things, out the window. The other thing like the Gentiles is, we seek the things of this earth. Food, clothing, shelter. Jesus didn't say those are wrong. He said these are all everything that the Gentiles seek. Everything that now for us the Gentiles represent Egypt, the world. Because we are no more of the world. We're in the world but not of the world. We're citizens of heaven. And he's telling us there's another way to live. Give him all your burdens and take his burden, which is like an easy, which is become a partner in Jesus' ministry. And what is a covenant? He takes care of you, you take care of him. And he's not going to overburden you. He's just going to be yoked with you and give you a tiny little part so you can share the work and ministry that Jesus wants you to do. While he takes care of everything else that the Gentiles seek. And he doesn't shortchange you, blesses you, gives to you. In order to have these prayer burdens, we must be released from that. And so, do be released from that. Fly like a sparrow, soar like an eagle. And then says, Lord, I'm ready now to serve you. And you thought serving him, he's going to call you to the ministry, call you to some place here, call you. Then God says, let me start by yoking you. Boom, a prayer burden came. And then you didn't know what to do. You didn't obey. And you're waiting for God, God waiting for you. And you didn't realize that prayer burden is supposed to carry and pray to God every day. And then release it whenever you can in words, understanding, or tongues. But continue to pray to God. And these are the prayer burdens that as you mature in God, it is a joy to have them. It's a joy to be yoked with Jesus. And it is easy because you don't really feel it. Instead, it actually carries you and you see the rewards. Like Paul says to the, even though he says he bears the concerns of the church, how many times in his writing did he write to them and say, you are my joy, you are my crown, you are my reward, because he has birthed them. And in heaven, for every soul that you brought to Christ, or that come to know Christ because of your life, you got a star. There's a reward up there. Nice stars. And God's going to bless us with all those things. So let's do the work of Jesus. Let's let go of all your, write down all your prayer requests and leave it to God. And then say, Lord, here I am. Let me pray what you want me to pray. And God will never shortchange. Even you spend the whole night praying for something else but not your life, you find your life will be taken care. Be the instrument of God and let him use you to pray and intercede and take on the prayer burdens that God has for you. And then learn to pray unceasingly. And when you pray unceasingly, you live a life of prayer. Well, when one thing finish, God gives you respite and enjoy for a moment. Then after that, he gives you a different prayer burden to take on. And on until your life is finished. And you got many rewards because you have shed and you have plowed many fields and many ground alongside Jesus. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy on our life. Thank you for giving us prayer burdens, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that your spirit within us teaches to pray. And we know, Lord, that life is filled with a lot of needs. We always need food, clothing, shelter. We always need financial prosperity. We always need things in this life. And you know all of these things. And you meet every need because we seek first the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Father God, that as we give ourselves to do the work of your kingdom, to pray those things that you want us to pray through, we recognize, Lord, although it's a prayer burden, it is easy, it's light, it's so enjoyable to cooperate with your spirit and let your spirit pray to us. How wonderful, Father, it is to pray the will of God on earth. How wonderful, Father, it is to establish your kingdom. How wonderful, Father, to know that because of our prayers, the angels can be released to do mighty works. And a lot of changes on this planet Earth can take place because of the prayers we pray. Father, we are like in a place of creation. That through our prayers, we are creating things in this planet, in this life. Allowing them to submit to the forces of your power to mold and make into your own perfect will, establishing your kingdom on earth, establishing your will on earth. What a privilege, Father God. So thank you, Lord, and let your prayer burdens in our life come to pass. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's all rise together. We worship God with a song, and then we just enter into prayer, and we are softly, slowly, soften the lights so that we can go to God in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Before the world began, You were on my mind, on his mind, and every tear you cry is precious in his eyes. Because of his great love, he gave his only son. Everything was done so you would come. Nothing you can do could make him love him more. Nothing that you've done could make him close the door. Because of his great love, he gave his only son. Everything was done so you would come. Come to the Father, though your gift is small. Broken hearts, broken lives, he will take them all. The power of the word, the power of his blood, everything was done so you would come. Before the world began, you were on his mind. Let's slowly soften the lights. And every tear you cry is precious in his eyes. Because of his great love, he gave his only son. Everything was done so you would come. Nothing you can do could make him love him more. Nothing that you done could make him close the door. Because of his great love, he gave his only son. Everything was done so you would come. Come to the Father, though your gift is small. Broken hearts, broken lives, he will take them all. The power of the word, the power of his blood, everything was done so you would come. Father, we come to you. Father, we come to you.